our buddy Jason Strudwick from TSN out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer. He joins
tight
us now.
Tight jeans.
It has become like the go-to commentary with us, Struddy. Whenever you come on, we have people tweeting in saying you have to bring in the tight jeans talk. So I guess we'll give you the floor. Go ahead. Give us the whole wardrobe. What's happening out there in Edmonton?
I'm having date night tonight, my wife and I. So my wife dressed me today. She actually ordered some new jeans in for me. And these ones aren't as tight as normal. I don't know if she thinks maybe I'm getting a little bit chubbier. I don't think I am. But, I think still it'll send a message to her. Again, we'll have to wear a long coat not to get her distracted during our date night.
Okay. Yeah, you got to be careful out there in Edmonton.
How would she become distracted out of curiosity?
Well, when you see these buns walking around the restaurant, it can be pretty crazy. Now, it's not for everybody. But my wife, she loves it. She thinks it's fantastic what I've got going on back there. So right. I never had a big bum. You know, PK guys get that hockey bum.
Yep.
From and I didn't. You know, noodles. I think Old Dog probably had it. I didn't have the best stride, so my buns never grew that big. So they didn't get smaller.
Everybody jokes about hockey players having big bums. All the guys that had that flat ass, they were crap skaters. Yeah. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one.
Yeah, well, one of your great Toronto Maple Leafs alumni, Brian McCabe, one time, we were out and having a few drinks, and he's like, "Study, did you go to Hawaii last year?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Looks like you had a shark attack. Shark bit half your ass off." I'm like, "What?" And I was so insecure after that, because I never thought I had a small bump, but Brian McCabe, the guy with three pieces of hair on top of his head, is talking about my ass. So
better watch what you say about him, because he is one of our personal faves.
We love both you guys. And Caber, we've seen it. Caber with the tucked-in golf shirt. And the, he called them
the
khaki pants.
Wow. I always thought he wore padded underwear, because he had some junk going on. But
cruising around the draft floor.
Tight pants.
Thing, man, making things happen, Caber.
You name it.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are both familiar with playing in Chicago. You were there, I believe, Strudy, and Caber was there at one point in his career. And they're not in a good spot off the ice, clearly on the ice, and the Leafs are in there. The Leafs have lost four in a row. From your vantage point, who needs a win more tonight? Is it Chicago or Toronto?
Oh, man, it's tough. You look at that whole situation with the Blackhawks, and it's really disappointing, something I was talking with a friend, they said, if someone in that organization had gotten cancer during that time, or their house is burning down, or, their house is flooding, they would have dealt with it right then and there. And that didn't happen in this situation. That's a major fail. So it's just that's really disappointing to hear. And as far as, today and which team needs to win, I mean, Chicago, I think they're in a really bad spot with just their team, not mention what's happening off the ice. So I think the Leafs, I watched some of that game the other night, especially Matthew scores that first goal. They seem to get energy. He was pretty jacked about it, and then they weren't able to pull it out. So, if I'm the Leafs, you go in there and you're just getting the 2 points. It doesn't matter what's happening over there on the other side of the dressing room or the other side of the arena. You just go in there and take care of business, and you got to start somewhere, because when you're struggling and you don't feel good about yourself, just one good game can turn it around. One good game where you feel like you're going, and it's not like they're playing awful. So I think they're really close. So I'd be blown away if they don't get the 2 points tonight.
Yeah, I mean it's been pretty ugly here in Toronto, as I'm sure you can imagine. I mean, it's been loud, and they haven't been playing that well. Like in Carolina, they got outperformed. Saturday in Pittsburgh, it was ugly. Before that, bit of a different story. You can chalk it up to early season. You have some ups and downs, but it seems like it can be chalked up in a couple of different places, right? In terms of cities and markets and teams maybe not getting off to the best start. And we always go back and forth in terms of that drop dead date for when you have to have it cooking and when we can truly evaluate a team. Is that 10 games for you? Is it 15, 20? When do you take a step back and say, I think I've got a read on what this team is all about?
Well, I think it's different for every situation, because what was St. Louis like when they won the Stanley Cup? Weren't they last or near last?
In early January season? They were, yeah.
Yeah. So right. I think that the big, like, you, I think as a player, and Noodles and O'Dog can agree, you know when you're kind of coming on as a team, right? And then you just know sometimes when you're fading. And it's never a good feeling even when you're winning, you're not playing well. Like, you can kind of kid maybe the media and kid the fans, but you know, you can't kid yourselves. And I always hated that feeling when we were winning games we shouldn't win. It's great. But you know, sooner or later, you got to pay the check, right? Yeah, sooner or later, Tab's going to get called up. But the other side is, too, when you're playing well and you're not getting those wins, you're like, you just got to stay with it. Because there are teams that when you're going well and you're not winning, they'll go away. And all of a sudden, it'll be like, you know, everyone's their own artist, right? Everyone's going to try to do it themselves, which is really dangerous when that happens. But if you believe in what your coach is saying and you keep together the team and you're coming close, you can really come out of quite hot, actually. So, you know, I tend to say the Leafs are more a group that are, you know, you just got to keep moving forward and not try to do it yourself. Because once you do it yourself, you can win a few games with individual artists. But, you know, over the hall, you're not going to win by yourself all the time.
Strutty, have you changed in your Marner jersey for a Hyman jersey yet?
Oh, my God. You know what? I liked Hyman. I've always thought Hyman was a good player. I mean, but the start he's gotten off here is amazing. I think, you know, he's got 5 goals. And maybe collectively it's been like 12 feet of distance. He shot them all, if you add it all up, right? Like, he's around the net all the time, and the big guys are loving it. Leon and Connor are just loving it. And you know, they had Chase on doing something similar last year and James Neal, but neither of those guys are as quick anymore in their games. And Hyman's kind of just trending in the right direction. So I'm blown away with what he's doing here. And he seems to have energized the forecheck for the Oilers. You're looking at Hyman. I'm looking at Fogle. I'm looking at, like, Zach Cassian. He's a new player. Zach Cassian and Warren Fogle together now are really getting in on that forecheck and making a third line that's not fun to play against. They're big. They get to that. They bring energy. You see them get into the faces of other teams' players. Like, that's what the Oilers need, that on that third line, because that bottom six has been really kind of a difficult spot for the Oilers. You're playing guys up too far up the lineup, or, you know, hoping that this guy can do that, or hoping that a guy can do this. You know, no disrespect, a little bit like Nick Ritchie. Like, you know, he's an NHL player, but if you push him too far up the lineup, it makes it pretty hard for him to contribute. And we had guys like, who was it, Cahoon here, I think, you know, same thing. And so now they've got guys in the right position in their top nine that are all, you know, feeling comfortable with where they're slotted. The fourth line, I think, is a work in progress, and they have lots of options, and Tippett will figure that out. But that's Zach Hyman, and you know, he's got him, Puljujärvi, Fogle, and Zach Cassian, your top nine. Big guys that can skate and get in on the forecheck. Man, that as a D-man, I wouldn't want to play against those guys, knowing that the worst part is the most talented guys are down the middle.
Strutty, biggest surprise in the league, either negative or positive. You look at guys like, or teams like Colorado, Tampa. We just talked about Toronto. Or on the negative side, outside of the off-ice mess, Chicago, Vegas, you know, teams that caught your eye that, you know, are looking worse off and you're concerned about maybe them coming back through?
You named it there, Colorado, and I look at their team and you think about how many people they lost this summer, right? They only look at Saad was gone and these types of guys that, you know, it really kind of, and as Zadorov, the big D-man, it changes your team. And now you look at the guys they're trying to replace, specifically in their bottom six. Donskoy is another guy off the top of my head. I'm sure I'm missing some, but those are, you know, with all due respect, good depth players, right? That they can kind of maybe bang around a little bit in your middle six. And now you're replacing with younger players and hoping that they can make those spots. Well, it's not easy. You know, it's, you know, playing the NHL and delivering is hard in those spots. So Colorado, I'm not going to say they're not a playoff team, but are they going to go as deep as a lot of people think when you have that situation there where your depth just isn't what it was? And, you know, you look around those teams and, you know, like a Tampa winning Stanley Cup, they're able to keep that depth or replace that depth with some other players that came in that were youth, and you need to have that. And so, you know, the top teams will have top players, but I think it really gets down to that third and fourth line. Can those guys contribute and just give those big guys a breather some night? And I don't know if Colorado right now maybe has that mix.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that. I saw something last night in that Vegas game where Dadonov stole an empty netter at the end of the game. Did you guys see that from Bolasar?
Well, he tried to do the give and go or something. I think he was probably trying to say, like, here, give it back to me because you get your little point or whatever, and then he just had to touch it crossing the goal line. Strutty move. It's a strutty
move.
That
looked like a strutty move. That's what I was thinking. Strutty was up there. You're taking that G-note, aren't you, Strutty, or what?
But I'm just happy to get a plus. That's all I want. Like, don't give it to me. Just get me the plus so I can skate off and the coach can say, oh, Strutty with plus one. We'll play him again next game.
I love it. But yeah, you got to listen. You got to take it when you can get it, man. And that Colasar, he's a kid. Like he's just trying to make his name. That goal. Imagine he goes to arbitration or something, and he's stuck on 9 goals. And like, man, if he had double digits, we'd really love to hand you over about 1.8 million. But I just
Strutty,
don't think
what was
we
your
can.
Worst? What was your worst minus ever in one game?
New York Rangers.
New York Rangers. My first time back. So I just signed down there. Oh, there's a comeback there. And we're playing against the Rangers. My partner's Tom Gilbert. And I'm so excited to play. I'm -3 before I even get a sweat on. Like, I'm talking, it is a gong show. Marion Gaborik, one point, he had a breakaway. I was trying to catch him. We could have been on the North Saskatchewan River, skated from Winnipeg to Edmonton. I would have never caught him. He was flying. And then so the fifth goal, I'll never forget, I'm out there, I'm in good shape. Tom Gilbert, the alleged skilled player on our line, he turns and gets the puck, passes it right on the tape of Gaborik. As soon as I saw it, I just started skating right to the bench. And I was done. And he buries it. And Tom just comes over. He's like, Strutty, sorry about that. I'm like, yeah, thanks a lot. I didn't play for a month. A whole month I was healthy, scratched. And so I was telling the guys, like, you know what? I've made it through injuries. I've made it through lockouts. I've made it through coaches being fired. I couldn't survive Tom Gilbert. He ruined my career. And the guys were dying. Tom guys like, tell me about Tom. Tell me the Tom story again. I'm like, you were there. He screwed -5. Who does that to someone? -4, you're like, okay, that's a tough night. But -5, like, who was -5? Was it McKinnon the other night? McKinnon, Burakovsky?
And McCarr. It was crazy.
That's in the Hall of Fame, man. The Hall of Fame wants the puck.
But at least they can score some goals. Like, those guys have a chance. Like, my ledger's pretty tight. Like, if I get down to -5, -10, it's not like old Uncle Strutty's going to score a hat trick one night to get back in the win column.
No, exactly. +5 is not on your horizon. Like, it's never going to happen.
No. Let's be honest. Tom Gilbert, karma got him because he went bald. He started going bald, and that's so. You know, and I don't feel bad saying that at all about him. I couldn't believe it. Like, I screwed my career.
That one hurts.
It's all pretty right, ignorant to go up to the guy, though, and say, you deserve that, you bald bastard.
We got to leave it there. We got to fly. We'll pick up on this next time. Thank you, Strutty. There's Jason Strudwick from TSN out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer.